Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guests will be Bob Fish and Mike McFall of Bigby Coffee. Welcome to the show. It's a little loud in here. We're live on the exhibit hall floor of IFA 2020. And joining me today as co-host is Angela Cote. Hey, Angela.
Woo, woo.
So your new podcast, the Franchise Growth Catalyst, is really taking off. I've had so many people here in Orlando tell me that they've been listening to your show. So congratulations.
Thank you. Well, I probably wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for you, because for me, I always talk about how, you know, we get stuck by these things that roadblock us. And one of them was, okay, I don't mind talking into a microphone, but how am I going to make this actually happen? And you said, well, how about this idea? Yeah. I'll host it on Social Geek Radio.
Right there.
So that solved that problem. And also just realized that enough people were asking and wanted to hear some insights and things. So I just got over that, and here we are.
Excellent. And before our guests join us, one quick note. This show is brought to you by Social Joey, the Franchise Expo Nashville, and Brand Journalist. We talk frequently on this podcast about using digital marketing for franchise lead generation, and there's no one who does that better than Brand Journalist. I've known these guys for about a decade now. They've become one of the most experienced and successful franchise development marketing firms in the industry. They've grown over 170 franchise brands and recruited over 10,000 franchise owners, and they do it with my favorite method, great storytelling. If you need a little help growing an emerging brand, or you want to breathe a little life into an older brand, give a call to Brand Journalist. You can find them at brandjournalist.com. Okay, guys, thanks for waiting in the green room here at the IFA. Joining us right now are Bob Fish and Mike McFall, co-CEOs of Bigby Coffee. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
So this is your first IFA show, is that right?
It is my first. This is Mike. This is my first IFA show. Bob's been to
three or four.
Okay.
Over the years, mostly in Vegas.
Mostly Vegas. this is your first non-Vegas. What's it like to go to an IFA show not in Vegas? So,
I mean, it's not as stimulating.
You actually can go outside and see the sun, which you don't really do that in Vegas much.
No, that's true.
That's very good. So we've got a ton of questions to ask you guys about today. The first one is really on your titles and your structure. How long have the two of you been co-CEOs of this brand?
So I think it's been about 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years.
Maybe 6 years as co-CEOs.
Okay.
And prior to that, Bob was the CEO, I was the president. We've always been equal partners from an equity perspective. And Bob was gracious enough, and we had a conversation, and we opted to go to co-CEOs versus the multi-tiered thing.
And it's obviously working well. There's a lot of brands that have tried that, and it didn't work so well.
Right.
What's the secret to your success between the two of you being such great business partners? So the secret is you always want the other one to talk.
No.
Awkward
so
silence.
We're fooling around here. But it's been super high synergy from day one. So, you know, the way we became partners was I had opened the first location. Mike was actually a barista. And I was looking to hire a manager because we were opening the second location.
Uh-huh.
And Michael and I went on a walk. I was interviewing him, but I'd come in that afternoon. It's a nice day, and we went for a walk on campus of Michigan State University. 3 hours later, we came back, and we had basically formulated the idea for the company that we run today, which is Global Orange Development.
Wow.
We shook hands.
That was a hell of a walk.
Oh, it was a great walk. But, you know, we were so aligned from a core value perspective. We're so aligned from a cultural value perspective. And we had different sort of intellectual assets. Mike is actually an intellectual. I am not.
Wow.
Right? But I think from a day-to-day perspective, I would say that we both, and Bob's always used this reference, we both carry the water. meaning that we are both emotionally invested in making sure that when we work together that it works for both of us. And a good example of that is the co-CEO role. Bob knew it was important for me to have that title,
right.
And was gracious enough to do that. But, you know, I can say 25 years in, the number of times we've gotten up from a table where we didn't have agreement, I can count on one hand, and those times we settled it very, very quickly.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. So Simon Sinek spoke here yesterday. Did you guys both see Simon?
Of course.
He spoke a lot about building trust in teams, or building teams with a lot of trust. And it feels like that's been a part of this relationship for a long time.
It has absolutely been a part of the relationship Bob and I have together. We are working on building that trust in our leadership team. For many years, we had deep trust between the two of us. That did not extend beyond, didn't extend to our team as well.
Yeah.
And so we're a couple years now three years into the development of a leadership team and building that trust with them.
Yeah, that's excellent. Angela, you had a mm-hmm. few things on your mind.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been doing some homework on you guys.
Oh,
yeah, stalking you really. And I came across a really fascinating article that talks about everything from when you earlier on were running things in a more autocratic sort of style,
sure.
sort of old school almost.
Yeah.
And I first of all commend you for the work that you did, and secondly for being public about that. And I think that there's so many people that could learn from your leadership. I think so many people think that a lot of these things are just fluff. And so I'd love to hear a little bit more about what triggered, you know, how did you suddenly realize that you had to change directions? Like, what was it what made you realize, oh, shoot, we need, I'm sure it wasn't shoot, though, but we need to move on into a new direction?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've always, first of all, been folks that have worked on personal development together or individually and shared that. But, you know, we were a company that was built out of nothing, right? And so when you build a company out of nothing, you go from survival mode and you go to stability mode. And I would say that we were just sort of coming out of stability. We were approaching $100 million from system-wide sales perspective. And Mike looked at me and it basically said, you know, if we want to get over $100 million, we got to change something here.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm sort of explaining why we were that way. Right. So when you're in survival mode and stability mode, there are ways of doing business that you learn in order to survive, and we had to let some of those go.
Yeah, and I mean, we just did a TED talk on this about a month ago in Detroit, and there was a moment when Bob and I were becoming less and less inspired to come to work. We were showing up to work, and the whole thing was about adding one more zero to our tax returns. And the environment, the culture that we were showing up to was unhealthy. And it was about a 2-year process of kind of, you know, realizing, like, we had things like midnight move-outs where people would be at their desk one day and the next day they were gone.
Oh, wow.
It was an environment built on fear, so on and so forth, right? And so there was we call him the shaman
in the woods.
In the woods. And this was a guy by the name of Nathan Havey. And I met him in northern Michigan on an island called South Manitou. And I met him and his wife. He was actually engaged in a conversation with my brother about his work in conscious capitalism. Bob and I engaged him in a conversation. He ended up doing what's called a conscious capitalism audit, where he audited the 6 stakeholders of conscious capitalism. And then he came to us with a report. The report said 5 of 6, we were doing reasonably well or fine. One, we were failing miserably, and that was our own employees. And so that was kind of like the knock on the wooden door there, saying you guys need to pay attention to this stuff.
That's right.
You know, it's amazing that you didn't part ways at that time, or one of you go off and do something else, because that's usually where I see a partnership like that goes, when it turns into just about, you know, as you said, adding another zero to your bank account or you know, you just didn't have the passion at that time. Well, I think that's usually where it goes awry.
Had we gone much further in that mode, I bet one of us would have left.
Wow.
For sure.
So good. And how long ago was that?
It would have been fall of 15.
Well, I say 2014 is when the real moment happened.
So six-ish years. We're six years in.
So. And, you know, culture development takes a long time.
Yeah.
You know, you don't walk in the next day and you're like, okay, culture's changed.
Yeah.
You know, because you're what you have in your hands is a culture that's all messed up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nobody trusts you. None of that's going on, right? And so nobody believes you when you come in. You're like, okay, we're ready for some change now.
Yeah. Come in and say, all right, the culture's going to change now.
Yeah.
You know, because we say so. Yeah. That doesn't work. So
there'll be less beatings.
So one thing. Okay, good.
Yeah. Until morale approves.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to keep the beatings going.
Yeah.
So one thing that I saw loud and clear when I went to your website, and I probably would have known Big B, however, I live in Canada, so I'm waiting for you guys to come to Canada, so get a pass there, but I noticed that you've really strong core values. I mean, even when you get on your website, and you know, you right away, everyone deserves to feel special, and everyone deserves to feel loved. I think that it looks to me like that probably was a lot of work to figure those core values out, but they look very genuine to me, and so I work with a lot of different franchisors, and I find the most successful franchisors are the ones that have their core values very clear. So could you maybe talk about how you figured out what your, because we all have those inside of us.
Yeah.
How did you figure out what the core values were so that you could attract the right people to your franchise company?
Well, there's really two different sets of values that we worked on. One was our cultural values. And that's what you're referring to there. And that's our external communication around values. And it's really our values as retailers and what it takes to have a hospitable environment. And that was super important. But we did that with our entire community. So we spent 2 days with a firm in Detroit with owner-operators, with employees, with vendors.
Customers.
And customers.
Yep.
Yeah, they did a bunch of work with customers. And that was, the cultural values were articulated that way. The core values was a much more personal process. And it was really about what are the values that Bob and I show up with. It was mostly about Bob and I. And that's what gets communicated to the entire community about our core values, which is different than the cultural values. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, that's really cool. I love this. I'm going to direct people to listen to this just to hear about the difference between the cultural values and the core values.
Yeah, very different.
One of the ways that I see people figure out their core values is by asking the people on their team, what do you think it is about the leaders that is making... or that is making this work so well, and then they look and they reflect and they work together on that. So it sounds a little bit like that was part of what you guys did.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it sure permeates, and I think as far as finding and attracting the right franchisees to your team, like it's pretty evident when you go to the website.
Yeah.
What you're trying to attract. It's either a hell yes or a hell no.
Yeah, right.
You're not looking for hell maybes.
That's right.
Hell
maybes. You got it.
One of the best exercises I've ever heard of around core values is to identify the greatest employee you've ever had. And this is just an exercise to kind of get on the path of core values. And then talk about that employee from their attributes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're looking at the attributes and you're like, oh yeah, that does identify very well with who we are. So that's just an exercise. And we spent a lot of time together on it as well.
Excellent. Mike, we had some excitement here in the exhibit hall at the Social Joey booth earlier. You were signing copies of your new book, Grind. I've never seen so many people come running over to our booth in the exhibit hall before, so thank you for that. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me.
You, absolutely.
Very, very generous of you to have me. It was great. But the book is, what I tried to capture and focus directly on the moment in time for when somebody commits to a new business to their very first day of cash flow. And what is it that they need to be focused on? And there is the first chapter. I'm fortunate to live in an entrepreneurial ecosystem where I teach in Ann Arbor. And I hear people talking about due diligence all the time.
Yeah.
Due diligence on the market, due diligence on the product and the industry and so on. I never hear of anybody talking about due diligence on the entrepreneur, on themselves as the entrepreneur, and what are their strengths and what are their weaknesses. And it isn't about whether you can be or can't be. It's about understanding who you are and then complementing your weaknesses and taking advantage of your strengths. It's one of the things that he and I have done, I think, very, very well over the years, which is we complement each other in so many ways. And the other piece of that is having somebody else help understand who you are is hard, or is helpful, because to do it yourself, super hard, right? Mm. And so that's the first chapter is this due diligence thing. And then it goes on from there.
That's great. Recently, Angela ran me through her personal test of would I make a great franchisee? And I failed miserably.
I believe that also.
Yeah. So.
But if you want to become one, we'd work with you.
So I would also add that, put it in the words of like the entrepreneurial DNA.
Yeah.
So when I work with people that want to franchise their business, they're really maybe good at being a business owner, but do they have the DNA to be a franchisor too, right? I talk about 10 traits that a franchisor needs to have in their DNA. So it sounds like that's what you're maybe alluding to there. One of the ways that I get people to figure this out is to go to the people in their network, whether it's their husband or their best friend or their other people they've worked with or just in their community, and that know them well though, and say like, what do you see in me?
You're right.
There you go.
Ask five of the people in your network.
Yeah.
That's how I ended up doing what I do now, helping franchisors, is people told me, I'm good at this. I'm like, oh, am I okay? Well, and then, you know, you figure out what to do. And then when you're living in your passion, it doesn't feel like work. You're having fun. So I think assessing that is really important.
That's the loving critic.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys always give me the feeling that you really like Monday morning, right? Like there's so many people I know who are just like, oh, weekend's over, oh, Monday. And it's like, you know, life is a little too short for that. So,
yeah. I love every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, our business is so intertwined with who we are and what we do and our personalities and our DNA and our personal goals, you know. And how can you not wake up in the morning and just want to go, you know?
Yeah.
And one thing I don't understand, and I never have, is if you're waking up on Monday morning and you're miserable, figure it out.
Come on.
Yeah.
Figure it out. I get the same impression out of you. You love what you do.
Yeah, I had a year where I was miserable for every morning.
Oh, that's horrible.
And I gave myself a year because I had committed to this particular business for 1 year. And then when that year was up, it was time to go.
And we get asked all the time what our end game is.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah.
I mean, we get that question.
Yeah.
I would say on a weekly basis, some version of that question. We have no end game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because, what the heck would we do where we would enjoy it more than what we're doing right now?
Yeah.
Like there's nothing. Why do that?
Infinite.
Why sell it?
Yeah, that was another Simon Sinek thing from yesterday. It's like, you know, you never win the war,
right?
You know, it's just battles every day that you win. You know,
that's
you
right.
win the day, but so you maybe have you have goals for the day or the week or the month, but you know, because I think in this culture right now, everybody looks at all of these companies that someone got to a certain point and then they cashed it in and they were out the door.
Yeah. But then what?
Yeah.
But then what?
Right.
And it's like, okay, so you're sitting on a pile of money and you guys would miss Big B in about a week.
That's right.
Right?
Well, so if I can disclose, I hope you don't mind.
No, please.
Here we go, folks. This is going to be an exclusive.
I think it was
juicy.
Friday, we were talking on the phone and Bob said he's never been happier.
Wow.
Showing up to work.
Yeah.
Big
wow.
And a lot of that has to do with the leadership team we're building and the trust level that's occurring and the beautiful conversations that are happening. It's really fantastic, but it has been a long road.
Yeah. You know what? Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm glad you guys are this happy and you know, I think your end game is just continuing. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, yes. We love what we do.
Very cool. And I just really, really commend you for stopping to do the work. And I know you mentioned that you both have always been really good at that, you know, professional development. And I see a lot of leaders. Well, I wouldn't even call them leaders, but you know, founders and CEOs that aren't really great leaders, that they think it's fluff, you know, and there's too much ego. And it's when you sort of check your ego at the door and say, how can I grow? The fact that you thought to bring in an outside party to help you with that, I think a lot of people think that's fluff, but you guys are living proof that it's not. Happiness is everything, right? It's not about the money, but when you're happy, the money will come. So I just wanted to say that, just commend you for that, because I hope I can drive other people to this podcast to hear that and inspire them to do the same. Very cool.
All right, guys, we're going to be back with one final leadership question right after this quick note about Franchise Expo Nashville. The Big Franchise Show coming to Nashville March 20th and 21st at Music City Center. Thousands of entrepreneurs and future business owners from across the United States will attend Franchise Expo Nashville looking for franchise opportunities. Nashville has ranked within the top 10 large metros for job growth and population growth for the past 6 years. It's the nation's fourth best city to start a business in. And there's still room for franchisors to exhibit and meet the most qualified prospects from Nashville and the surrounding areas. Did you know that within 650 miles of Nashville is half of the population of the United States? So if you're not planning to come to Nashville, change your plans, get down there. I understand Bigby Coffee will be exhibiting at Franchise Expo Nashville, so we'll be chatting with them that week as well, and you can meet the awesome team there. You can check it all out at franchiseexponashville.com. Okay, Bob and Mike, first of all, thank you for joining us today. This has been just so much fun.
Thanks for having us.
And we're getting so many strange looks from people in the exhibit hall here at the IFA. I love it. They're like, what are those guys doing over there? So, okay, a question for both of you. If you could sit down for a cup of coffee with one leader, living or dead, business, political, anyone, throughout history, who would it be? And what would you ask them? So, Bob Fish, we're going to start with you.
How did we decide that? No, anyway.
rock, paper, scissors.
So if you say mine, I'm going to freak out.
Well, mine's always been Warren Buffett, but my answer to this one is Fred DeLuca, who passed away not that long ago.
Yeah.
You know, and we had interaction with Fred 3 times. Every time was very impactful. I don't know the question that I would ask, because Fred always gave us a nugget. Every time he visited with us, he gave us something.
Uh-huh.
It's not the question that we asked that ended up being the thing that was important, right? And, you know, there's a lesson in there. You can ask a lot of questions, but you got to do a lot of listening, right?
Yeah.
You got to
do
a lot of listening.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you a question.
Okay. I am, that's a great answer. I think there's a lot of people in this building right now who would probably choose the same guy.
And for sure.
I had the pleasure of meeting him one time. Mm-hmm. We were actually here at the IFA, and my good friend Lisa Oak introduced me to him. And I met him for about 4 minutes, and he made an impact. So,
and he would, because he's the only guy that in his lifetime, 100% franchise, went from 0 to 40,000 units in his lifetime.
Yeah.
Okay? Doesn't happen. Never happen.
Yeah.
It'll probably never happen again.
There's no way. Okay. I mean, until we start colonizing Mars or something like that.
And,
you know?
I mean, just to give all that perspective, when he would come visit us, the guy flies coach. And
yeah.
What did he rent for a car?
Sebring convertible.
Okay? No entourage. No nothing like that.
Stayed at the Hampton Inn.
Wow.
Yes.
Nice. We got awesome stories. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good one, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. Yeah. All right, Mike McFaul, same question.
Yeah.
Any leader, living or dead, anyone on earth, who would you have a cup of coffee with?
So, Nelson Mandela.
Okay.
Would be my answer. And I've read, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 biographies. What inspires me was his commitment to making positive change in the world. And he gave up his life, essentially, for that to happen.
Yeah.
And he never gave up. The biggest lesson I learned from him was when he was finally released, how he worked with the people that had jailed him to build.
Amazing.
Right. And that is an example for for the world. So Nelson Mandela for me, and what would I ask him? How did he get that commitment? Where did that come from?
Yeah.
I would love to hear him talk about that.
Yeah, because it's amazing. There are so many people who were in the same situation that did not go down that path.
Right.
So excellent. Guys, thanks again for joining us today. Angela, it's a pleasure as always. Thank you for being on
always
the show.
Always fun
today.
Hanging out with you, Jack.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.